Reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, from verses 9 to 14. Jesus also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen.
Thank you, Malcolm. Great. Fasting, what does it mean? It means, of course, going without food, but deliberately going without food. That's what we're talking about, deliberately going without food. Some people do that before they have an operation. They have to fast for a while. So there's physical reasons why people might fast. But today we're looking particularly at the spiritual reasons for fasting. And as we look to engage with God in some way, in a special way. So that's what we just want to concentrate on for the next 20 minutes or so, 20 minutes, half an hour. And what we're going to do is, because this is a subject that we've all heard of and we've seen it talked about in the Bible, but we've not always engaged with fully, we're going to have a look at some Bible verses together today to do with this subject and try and understand it a bit better. Is it still relevant today to be fasting in a kind of real way? Is it something that is meant to make our prayers more possibly answered than if we don't fast? What those kind of things, really, and how long do we need to fast for, and how often should we do it, and those kind of things, if indeed we're meant to. So that's what we're going to look at, and the reasons why people might do fasting. The passage that so because of this, actually, if you want to if you're at home and you want to grab a piece of paper and a pen and write anything down, because I'm going to give you some Bible verses and things, then you can look them up for yourself. Please do. If you're here and you've got pen and paper, you can do that. If you want to get your phone out and make notes on your phone, no one will know if you're following the football, reading the news, playing a game, or making notes on your phone about what I'm talking about. So you can get away with anything this morning, okay? But I'd encourage you to try and do it, because I haven't got a PowerPoint today, which I haven't had time to put that together for us. I'm sorry. Otherwise, I'd put these verses and the different bits up there. So it might help you writing down if you want to follow it that way. All right, the passage that we've just read, that Malcolm kindly read for us, was Jesus was criticizing in it the man who fasts twice a day and pays his tithes. And some have looked at that and said, see, Jesus isn't interested in fasting. It's a religious thing. And tithing, it's kind of a legalistic thing. Those things aren't relevant today. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what the teachers of the law did. It's not something that we need to do today as Christians. Jesus was condemning and criticizing that. Here's another story from the Bible, Luke chapter 5, that mentions fasting as well. Luke chapter 5, verse 33 says this. The Pharisees came to Jesus and they said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. You don't. You're not fasting. Your disciples, we never see them fasting. Jesus answered, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast. So Jesus is criticized for not having his disciples fast as well, like John the Baptist's disciples fasted. But rather than say, yeah, fasting's rubbish, it's not intended for today, people don't have to do it, he doesn't say that. He says, they're not fasting now because I'm here. See, the Pharisees and John's disciples were fasting and praying because they wanted the Messiah to come. They were waiting for the Messiah, and they were trying to bring it in by spending more time in prayer, by committing themselves to God and making sure their lives were right in every way. And fasting was helping them just in the discipline of that and to show the extremes they'd go to in that for God to come again, to send the Messiah. What they didn't realize was the Messiah was now among them. Jesus was here, the awaited Messiah. And Jesus is saying, it's like the bridegroom's come, he's here. So of course they're going to party now. They're going to eat and drink now with me. They're going to celebrate this short time I'm here because I'm not going to be here all the time. Although I'm here forever spiritually, this is a unique moment in history when I'm walking physically with my people. Remember Mary and Martha? And Mary was busy in herself, and Martha was busy in herself, and Mary was kind of sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's getting worked up about it. Why isn't she helping me as well, Mary? Why is she just spending time with you? And Jesus says, Martha, you worry about lots of things, but only one thing's needed at the moment. Come and spend time at my feet. And I think what he was saying was, I'm with you. The food is important, everything else, but this is more important. This is a special time when I'm with you. Can you imagine if you had the opportunity to sit with Jesus in a house? Would you be bothered with the dishes? If you had the opportunity to sit with him and spend time with him and listen to what he's saying? It was a unique time. So the bridegroom was there. Jesus was there. And he's saying there'll be plenty of time for fasting. And they will. And do you know what? They did. We see that Jesus' disciples did fast and go on and do that. We see an example of it when they commissioned Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13. I think that's actually my phone ringing on the front row. It was, sorry about that. I was kind of looking around waiting for someone to turn the sound off the phone, and it's my phone over there. I didn't turn the sound off. Sorry, apologies. They did go on and fast afterwards. And in the first story, the one that Malcolm read for us, Jesus wasn't criticizing the man for fasting. He was criticizing his attitude, his the way that he was going about that. He was doing it all religiously, showing how important he was, and they criticized elsewhere for that, where he was pretending to be, you know, I'm very religious, look at me, I'm glad I'm not like them. Whereas what's important is the heart. And that's why he pointed to the guy that said, you know, I'm sorry, God, I've really messed up. I'm not righteous and everything else. It's the attitude of heart that's important when we come to fast. Matthew 6, verse 16 to 18 is another passage in the New Testament that talks about fasting. I'll just read this one as well. Matthew 16, verse 16 to 18. Matthew 6, I gave the wrong verse. Matthew 6, verse 16 to 18 says this, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who is seen what he's done in secret will reward you. What do we learn from this passage? We learn from this passage that Jesus doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. He expects people to be fasting. And don't worry about the oil on the head. That was just the whole thing of making sure they didn't look all like bedraggled and things. It was sorting themselves out. So wash, look okay. It doesn't matter. You know, you don't know the fact that I've been fasting for the past month because I'm dressed like this today. I haven't really. I'm only joking. And I would have just defeated the purpose of it and got my full reward if I had. But that's the point is, don't make a big deal about it or boast about it, whatever else. Go about day as normal, in a sense. And also, fasting doesn't mean that all you can do is pray and you have to sit in a room and pray all day. You can go about other things as well, but spend some specific time in prayer and be prayerful through the day. And as you hunger, put your focus back on God again. So Jesus himself fasted 40 days and 40 nights before starting his ministry, and probably continued to do after that. Even when his disciples weren't fasting, Jesus may well have been fasting. Read John chapter 4, for example. Let's look at that. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, verse 31. It says this: meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." His disciples had just gone into town to get some food because they didn't have any food, and they'd come back and they'd probably gone a while without food. And the disciples urged Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something. You need to eat something now. You're going to go dizzy. You're going to go funny if you don't eat something." And Jesus says, but he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Could it be that Jesus is fasting on that occasion? That he's going without food deliberately on that time? Particularly because he wants to get on with God's work and have his full mind and concentration on that, and he's disciplining himself in that? We know that Jesus often went for times of prayer. So, and Mark chapter 9 as well, I won't turn to this one, Mark 9:29, Jesus told the disciples some spiritual warfare could only be won by prayer and fasting. So there's lots of examples of this. Fasting was an expected discipline for believers in both the Old and the New Testament. It's expected, it's part of the discipline of life, like reading scripture, like prayer. Fasting was a part of life. Fasting is an appropriate bodily reaction to a moment of grief or the grievous state of the soul. I'll come back to that in a minute. Fasting can be spontaneous or carefully prepared to help us respond physically or spiritually in a situation. Fasting is not an end in itself, but a way to focus our minds and our bodies for a spiritual reason. Fasting often goes together with prayer and should have a clear purpose as seen in the Bible. Now, it was good that Richard read the passage he did before from Ezra, because I had that down anyway. So thank you for that, Richard. You didn't know that. But that bit in Ezra chapter 8, and I'll turn to it again, actually, because it's a good one to look at. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. They lay by the Ahava canal, and I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before God. So why fast? First of all, to humble ourselves is an example given in the Bible. To humble ourselves before God. It helps us express our humility before God. Bear in mind, fasting in itself isn't humility, because that all depends on the attitude we come to it with, like I've said. But it should be a sign of our heart that we're hungering after God, that we want to set other things aside and make him the priority for that time. Make the things that are on our heart a priority to bring before him. And we're seeking after him. So it expresses our humility. We can't do this alone, God. We need you, and we're taking this seriously. This is important, and we know we need to bring these things to you, because we can't manage this on our own. We don't want to. We need you. Ezra said, "I proclaimed a fast so we might humble ourselves before the Lord." And in 1 Kings 21, God said to Elijah, "Have you noticed how King Ahab has humbled himself before me?" Ahab was a proud king. We did a lot of evil. But when he was challenged with the fact that he was going to die because of it and he was going to be wiped off the throne, he humbled himself before the Lord. He prayed and he fasted and he just sought God in repentance. And God said, have you seen the way he's responding? And God relented and gave him and let him stay there. So to humble ourselves before God, to seek protection or deliverance. So why was Ezra praying here by the canal? It says they humbled themselves before our God and asked him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. So he's asking for something, for protection on a journey they had to make. It could be protection from enemies or protection from particular circumstances or deliverance in particular circumstances. And fasting here and in many places is often done in conjunction with other people, people coming together to fast. So you can have an individual fast or a corporate fast with others. Ezra calls them to pray for this safe journey. And it was a 900-mile trip from Babylon to Jerusalem they were about to make. It was going to be scary. There was bandits and things on the way. And Ezra says, we need to fast and pray. Jehoshaphat called Judah to fast as they sought protection. In Chronicles, we read about it, from the vast army that was against them. So number three, to seek God's help in a time of difficulty or crisis. People pray for that as well. So carrying on this passage in Ezra, I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from the enemies on the road, because we told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. Ezra had got himself in a bit of a situation, because he'd been saying to the king all the time, you know, God looks after people who are righteous, who seek after him. It's people who don't that have it coming to them, but God looks after us, and he protects us. And now Ezra's about to go on this long journey, and he was torn, because do I ask the king for soldiers to help me and protect me? Because the king will turn around and say, oh, you need my soldiers now, do you? I thought you said your God looked after you. So Ezra says he's ashamed because he said all of this, and now he's thinking, I need the soldiers to go with me to get me back there. So he was in this situation. He didn't know what to do. So he sought God and he prayed and he fasted. God, will you back this up, what I've been saying? Will you bring us this protection on our journey? And of course, God does. In Judges, we read, after losing 40,000 men in battle in 2 days, the Israelites cried out to God for help. They were in a difficult situation. They fasted, it says, and sat weeping before the Lord until the evening. And God gave them victory over the Benjamites. So if you're facing a difficult situation, a challenging situation in your life that you seriously don't know what to do, then fasting is something that you could do as you seek God. It's a discipline, a spiritual discipline that can help in these situations. There's something spiritual about it. There's something that's physical and spiritual, and bringing that together. Another reason, the fourth reason, to express grief or concern. Now in Samuel, we read, Israel was defeated and Saul and Jonathan lay dead. And David and his men mourned and wept and fasted till evening, it says. Have you noticed when you truly grieve, if you've ever been in a situation where you've really grieved, maybe it's a loss of a loved one, maybe it's a loss of a large amount of money, maybe it's a loss of a job. Whatever it might be, when you really grieve and you know that feeling of grieving, do you feel like eating? The people often come to you and say, you need to eat something, and try and encourage you to eat in the situation like that, because you go without food because you just don't feel like eating. And spiritually, it's the same. When we are really grieving about something, something's really troubling us, then we go without food. And it's a spiritual thing as well, that we put our focus on God. He's the one we need at this time to see us through this time, to help us in our time of need. Nehemiah mourned and fasted and prayed when he learnt Jerusalem's walls had been broken down. And mourning in memory of destruction was actually the mourning in memory of destruction of Jerusalem was one of the two main national fasts that took place in Israel. So there was two main fasts in the Old Testament. One is the mourning of in memory of the destruction of Jerusalem, and the other was the Day of Atonement. That's known now as Yom Kippur. And it was a reminder of sin and the need to repent and sacrifice because of sin. And so that brings us to that fifth reason, to express repentance and a return to God. So we're grieving because of sin in our life and repentance of it. It helps us express our grief over it, to show we're serious about wanting to obediently follow God. Samuel and all of Israel fasted as they repented and confessed their sin to God. Remember Jonah? After Jonah pronounced judgment on the city of Nineveh, the king wore sackcloth and sat in dust, and he was fasting. And the king called his people to fast and pray together. And when God saw their repentance in that way, he relented. Let's just jump back into the New Testament again. We've looked at some Old Testament examples. Here's just a few New Testament examples again. So come to the New Testament. One of the first characters we meet is Anna in the New Testament. She never left the temple, it says. She's an 84-year-old prophetess who never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. So we can fast to express our love and worship for God, and to show what we hunger most for. It shows what we and who we truly love and worship most. And Anna longed to see Jesus. Longed to see Jesus. And she got to see him physically before the end of her life. Do you long to see Jesus? Not physically necessarily, but spiritually. Do you long to draw close to him? Praying and fasting is a way to express our love for him and worship of him and draw closer to him. Another reason, seven, to overcome temptation. We dedicate ourselves to God and to prepare for ministry as well. This is where Jesus did this when he had his 40 days of night in the wilderness, fasting and praying before he began his ministry on the earth. He needed time alone to prepare for what his Father had called him to do. If he needed that time to fast and pray, how much more we, when we're going about work for him. It can help us focus when we're struggling with temptations as well and help prepare us for that ministry. And number eight, to seek God's wisdom or guidance, to help us focus on seeking God's will or wisdom and make us more receptive to his guidance. So Paul and Barnabas prayed and fasted for the elders of the church before committing them to the Lord's work. That's in Acts chapter 14. I wonder whether churches should fast and pray today before appointing ministers or even leaders in the church to really seek God rather than just rely upon a church meeting that come together and have some discussion and debate and then take a vote. The church meeting is meant to be about people who have been seeking God together and then come together and seek God together and pray for his will and his way. And yes, decisions have to be made, and yes, votes can need to be taken on occasions. It's either that or drawing lots, isn't it? Like they did in the New Testament sometimes. But really, it's seeking out God's will. Should prayer and fasting be something we do more in serious decisions we need to take as a church together? Some other benefits of fasting. Fasting can help us practice self-control. It's an important discipline in the Christian life because we need to be self-controlled. Fasting shows God we hunger after him more than food or anything else. Fasting draws us closer to God as we prioritize time with him over other things. It helps us be more aware of ourselves and of our own spiritual condition. It really does that. It helps us be more sensitive to what God might be saying to us and the Spirit's leading. It creates a disciplined time for us to meditate on Scripture with the Lord. That's why we've included a number of verses in the sheet we sent out. It adds a sense of priority, need, importance to our prayer and our reliance on God. It helps stimulate our minds. And do you know what? It improves brain function. Fasting does that physically. It helps stimulate the mind more and it can improve brain function. If you do lots of long fasting for a long period of time, it might go the other way. But in the short term, it really can help. And it can generally be good for our health to do this on occasions. Just a couple of warnings. Fasting in itself is never enough and won't count for anything if it's simply an act. Isaiah 58, where God says, on the day of your fast, you just exploit people and quarrel with one another instead of helping the oppressed and feeding the hungry. We can't fast and think that we're right with God just because we've done that. We need to act in a way that is pleasing to him as well and be merciful to others. That's the fast that the Lord requires. But it doesn't mean he doesn't want us to physically fast food as well. Fasting shouldn't be done to be seen as holy and we shouldn't be somber or boastful as we do it. We need to humble ourselves before God, as in that passage in Luke we read. So finally, how do we pray and fast? Well, you can pray weekly. Some people do that. Some people miss one meal a week. I went through a couple of years where I missed one meal a week in the week to pray and fast. It was a Friday lunchtime and just spend that time in just praying. It can be a monthly thing. It can be an annual thing. It can be for specific occasions that come up in our life or when we're called to prayer like this. We need to make sure we do it safely. If it's for a longer period of time, you may need to check with a doctor depending on your physical condition as well. But that's not for missing one meal, but it would be if you decide to miss a few meals. You need to be careful and just safe about it. Where can we fast? Anywhere, alone. Jesus talks about doing it alone and unseen, so it's just between you and God. But there's also these corporate fasts, or national fasts even, where people come together to fast and pray. And some countries still do that today. That's still happening, where countries, a president or a king might call his country to pray and fast together because of a situation. The way we do it needs to be in right relationship with God. So start before the fast in just coming before God humbly and repenting and being right with him. And also being right with others. Don't hold unforgiveness against others when you come to fast. That's a principle of prayer generally. And we can pray for all kinds of things. And we've given you some ideas on the sheet that we sent out this week. You've got that at home, the one I showed you before. And that gives a lot of ideas for that, but you don't need to stick with that. And what's the purpose of it all? To draw closer to God, to seek his heart and about certain things. We're particularly asking our church at this time to pray and fast today because there's a lot going on in our nation with COVID. There's a lot of important decisions our governments have got to make. For us as a church, it's not been an easy time when we've been doing things on Zoom and YouTube and everything else, and it's been a difficult time for everyone. So we want to pray and fast for our church family. It's been a difficult year or two for our church with all the things going on. We want to move forward closely with God. So we just want to ask you, come together in his name as one together, as we've been talking about in the series we've done recently, and let's just pray and seek God together. Let's make sure we're right before him. Let's make sure we're going forward as a church with a right heart and attitude and ask him that we can see great things in the months and years ahead and fruit from our ministry. So praying for ourselves as individuals, making sure we're right within our church, and our country at this time. But some of those points are in there. And as we draw close to God, we will see reward. Jesus says, your Father in heaven will reward you as you do this. Whether that is in direct answer to prayer, this is not a magic wand any more than prayer is. You know, when you pray for someone to be healed, we know God is able to. And sometimes he does step in and do those things that we ask him for. Praise God. Sometimes it doesn't happen in the way that we want or would have asked. We still have to trust him and work with him. But one thing that will happen with fasting is, I believe that you will grow close to God and you will receive a reward, even if that's just in yourself and your own walk with him. And we will receive our reward in heaven. Let's pray. Father, that's been a lot of information today, a lot of verses and passages, and a reflection on many of the scriptures where fasting is. We've seen that fasting was and has been throughout Bible times a big thing, an important part of following you. And it remains an important part of being a Christian today. Lord, forgive us when we haven't taken certain spiritual disciplines seriously. And Lord, help us to include this spiritual discipline as part of our walk with you going forward, whether that be a regular thing or an occasional thing. But Lord, we pray that we will benefit as individuals and as a church from this day that we're spending some time in prayer and fasting, and in the future as we build this into our walk with you. And we ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.